And there's just a DVD sitting on like the bed, the maid bed, and there's a DVD, and it was like talk about the Freemasons.
Who left it there?
Exactly.
No, you're lying.
Not
Wait
lying.
A minute.
Welcome back to the Netflix Book Club podcast.
Whoa, what's up, Mike?
I'm happy to be here. Dennis, it's Mike and Dennis at home watching movies with you. It's a kind of like a book club, but it's a podcast, a comedy podcast. Don't call it a review.
Breakfast edition. It's early today.
Yes.
It's not that early.
Sunday
but for comics
morning
on a Sunday. Yeah.
And we're recording a podcast on a couch somewhere in Brooklyn. That's really not the vibe of this movie, though.
That's, well, yeah. So you started,
maybe the first 8 minutes of the movie.
That's what I said. First thing I said to your lady when I walked in was like, fun way to start your Sunday morning.
It is.
Watching this movie.
Yeah.
I had a dream like, you want to hear how, before we get started, you know,
okay.
I like to bullshit a little bit here.
Sure. It's episode 201. If we don't bullshit a little bit.
201.
Yeah. We're off to we're
oh
off
my
and running.
God.
Nice
Did
and early.
Did we do anything for 200? Who do we have on? Will Pepper.
Will Pepper.
Anatomy of a Fall. I've been talking about that movie all week.
It was a fun one. Fun pod.
Been pushing that movie on everybody, but I get a lot of cocked heads when you say it's half in French, half English.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I don't
know
what that was.
I don't know what that was either.
Oui, oui.
Wah, wah.
Do you know how they spell oui, oui in French?
O-U-I.
O-U-I.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Get out of here.
Three vowels in a row? You guys are fucking crazy over there.
Bread-eating psychopaths.
Poo-poo, that's what I say.
Yeah, I poo-poo your wee-wee.
P-U.
Beautiful.
A lot of acronyms.
We nailed that.
What does P-U stand for?
P-U.
I don't know. Damn it, you made me lose my train of thought now. I'll push an Anatomy of a Fall, starting your... Oh, the movie... So, I had a dream last night about movies.
Yes.
I really want to go see Civil War. I might do that later today.
The Marvel movie?
No. Everyone... I don't understand how this has been such a big movie...
Is there a movie out right now? So
there's a movie
Civil
that
War?
Just came out called Civil War. It's got Kirsten Dunst in it. It's a huge movie.
Oh.
Like, it's a huge budgeted movie.
Yeah,
people are talking about it. My partner, I do a movie podcast with, no idea. Hasn't heard of it.
Is Lincoln in it?
No.
He's not?
It's the movie about if there was a Civil War, like, in the near future in the United States.
Oh, I know. This is
you
not
heard about this at all?
I don't think
it's been,
so.
It's so fun. I wonder what our feeds, our targeted ads must be very different, too.
Yeah, no, this movie has not
so
popped up.
Kirsten Dunst is in the film. Jesse Plemons is in the film, of course. Whatever, there's some other people in the movie. But I had a dream last night that I saw it in theaters, and I walked out, and I remember going, wait a minute. Kirsten Dunst wasn't in that movie. Like, I did watch a 2-hour or 2.5-hour long movie in my dream, but walked out and said, wait a minute, but she was in the previews. Did she get cut from the rest of the movie?
This is a confusing movie.
Oh, man. Maybe it doesn't even exist. Maybe I'm completely fabricating this film. Because I also said it to somebody else, and they're like, the Marvel movie? And I'm like, no, the new Civil... Anyway.
I don't know. Is it in theaters?
No, it's in books. What are you talking about? It's in theaters.
It could
it's
be streaming.
No, it's a major movie. It's a huge, huge film.
I can't
believe you haven't heard about this movie.
No, I like Captain America. I'd check it out.
Yeah, he's in it.
Yeah, I'll check that out. Iron Man, is he back?
Iron Man, have you watched the new Fallout series? There's a little Iron Man in that.
No, Fallout to me sounds like a video game.
It is.
Oh, and it's a movie based on that?
No, it's a series. You haven't heard about the Fallout series?
Well, I have heard of that, but I didn't know what it... I didn't
research it. I'm going to say it, Mike. You've been reading too much, all right? You got your head in the books recently. You've been talking on stage about reading all these books.
I'm doing a lot of reading.
You're doing a lot of reading. I don't like what it's turning you into.
I finished the Dark Tower series by Stephen King, and I love it.
No idea what's on TV. No idea what's in theaters.
No.
What are you doing to yourself?
The Yankees play at 1:40.
Yeah, we got to wrap by 1:38.
And I've been reading a lot. It is a book club for movies.
You're like, I thought we were supposed to be reading this whole time.
Right. Follow us on Instagram at Netflix Book Club Podcast, if that's still the handle whenever you're listening to this.
At Netflix Book Club Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at DennisRooney7. Mike, where can they find you?
Oh, they can find me on Instagram also at _MikeTui.
Nice.
So this week... we watched a movie from 2003, I want to say.
No,
2013. No, I'm sorry, 2013. Prisoners.
You'd never seen it, right?
I believe, actually, that I have seen it.
Oh, you thought, oh, okay.
But I had forgotten almost all of it.
Right.
Certain things, certain aspects about it, that it was like the gloominess, the tone of it, I remembered. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and for some reason in my memory, it's like, and it does happen often, they're always in a car. They're like, we're constantly getting in and out of a car, driving around in a car.
Yeah.
Someone's talking to somebody while driving in a car. Someone's outside the car.
What's with all these cars?
It's a lot of shots like that. That's what I remembered. I'm like, yeah, I do kind of, but I didn't like remember the movie, but that I remember. There's always someone in a car.
Someone says to you, like, hey, you ever see that movie Prisoners? You're like, the one with all the cars?
Yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, exactly. Movie? Be like, yeah, there's a lot of driving, right? Everyone's driving around. And it is, though. It is a lot of driving around.
It's about a kid who gets two kids who get abducted. It's a police. You know, it's kids. Like an episode of True Detective. I guess True Detective is the same thing. They're always driving somewhere.
Right.
It's always someone they got to go talk to. You know.
So yeah, I had
a lot of talking in this. A lot of cars.
I had seen it, but not something that really that I could have went back in my mind and remembered.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
I saw it in theaters. I remember seeing.
God! Really?
Oh yeah. I remember enjoying it quite a bit. But I had forgotten a lot about it. Like, I knew the basic. I remembered the ending very much because the ending's great, in my opinion, that final scene. I remember, like, the kids getting up. Like, I remember the opening of the movie, the end of the movie, and maybe, like, one scene in the middle.
Yeah.
But I forgot so much of what. Like, the guy, the not the decoy. He winds up being, you know, having kind of a role in it, but like the weird creepy guy who sneaks into the house and steals the sock.
He draws the maze all over the place.
Yeah, completely forgot about his character and what happens with him in the movie. So it was really, I really enjoyed it as a rewatch because I was like remembering it as it happened. You know what I mean?
Yeah, certain things came back to me when I watched it. When he's outside looking at the Thunderbird or whatever, that the car that's broken down in the backyard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go, there's something about this car. I was like, there might be something under this car.
Yeah.
Like, I had the thought because I'm like, that. So I kind of remembered that, but not too much. And I didn't even realize Paul Dano, Hanoush, is in this movie.
Skinny human.
Yeah.
I was making us watch all Paul Dano
movies. There was times where he kind of, I was like, that's a little Hanoush-y.
Did you think so?
Sometimes, because he's playing a very traumatized.
Yeah.
Boy, man.
He's a kid that's...
Man boy.
Yeah, he's a man boy who was kidnapped, drugged for a long period of time.
Right.
And basically, who knows what kind of abuse he suffered at the hands of these people.
He doesn't even remember what his name originally was.
Yeah.
They say.
So, that's kind of one of my only problems with this movie. I have like one or two small problems with this movie. One of them being like, how could this kid, this guy, who granted is mentally checked out...
Yeah.
How does he hold up under such torture, under questioning? Because, I mean, he's, you know, simple, but he knows what's going on. He does taunt the guy in the parking lot. Like, he is able to, like, hold up under police questioning, and he just maintains silence. But then he sneaks the line to Jackman in the parking lot.
Yeah.
That's a turning point in the film. Because at that point, you're starting to be like, oh, maybe this guy is innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that in the parking lot, and you're like, well, what the fuck? You don't say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
the stakes go up.
Yeah, something's going on here. So that irks me a little bit. But I could live with it, because it's just like, yeah, who knows? Maybe the kid, when he's terrified, he just locks up. You know what I mean?
It is odd.
Can't get anything out of him.
3 days or however many days, and he's locked in a box, and then he just goes, it's in the maze. And it's like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's like you didn't give up the maze when he hit your hand with a hammer or threatened to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, at some point or another, you say something else.
It's like, what is it, Reservoir Dogs, when he's torturing him? He's like, yeah, you fucking break his balls enough, he'll tell you anything.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's surprising that he kind of never offers up any. He never offers up a simple, like, grandma did it. Like, grandma.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
Grandma's house.
He's not. Right. You could, you know, like, maybe he says something about the car, about the house. I could see him not saying anything about the mom or dad, grandma, like, because that's, you know, those are the captors, and he's, like, petrified. Yeah. But saying something other, the maze, what is that? It's like, it's the same thing in the parking lot. They didn't laugh till I left. It's like, are you being intentionally friggin' dense right now to drive this guy insane?
Yeah. And like, with it are you?
Right.
And are you like, are you kind of a, you know, you could be, can you be mentally handicapped and also evil? Can those things coexist? I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know.
And I don't know.
He does torture a dog.
Right.
Which is like, you know, you could kind of write that off as like, yeah, he's got the mental capacity. He doesn't understand how bad that is to do. He just thinks it's funny or he gets a kick out of it.
But you would think maybe because he is traumatized, and I get trauma's weird, but then he's also being scalded with hot water and beaten and tied up in no sunlight.
Yeah.
So at what point does that kind of break?
Right. Like, there's
new trauma now happening. So maybe this is now changing you. Right, and you just finally go, they're under the ground, in the, you or know, like, say
who,
anything.
Who knows what kind of threats he's had from grandma at home being like, you ever tell anyone about any of this?
Of course,
you know?
Sure.
Not just what'll happen to you, what'll happen to grandma. So, so I don't know, maybe he could, you know, it's not my biggest problem, but it is wild that this guy.
I wonder what they were drinking there, that NyQuil Pepsi mix.
Well, they say it's some sort of like a ketamine LSD mixture.
Do they say that?
They say, so when they,
I remember she says this was her husband's recipe or whatever.
Yeah. When they go to Snake Boy's house, they find that book, which is...
Oh, yes. The Invisible Man.
Oh, so this is another... This is almost a bigger problem I have with this movie, which I obviously... I love this movie. I think it's great.
Uh-huh.
But I'll nitpick it for sure. Mm-hmm. They really... This scene goes real fast, and there's a lot of things going on in that scene when they bring up the book.
Yeah.
It's the first time we hear about this book. The book is like kind of about the guy there at the house in a way.
Yeah.
Because he experienced the same thing that happened in this book.
And just to be clear, he got abducted and he escaped from this family.
From this family. Woman. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And lives, you know, around.
And by himself.
Because it's rural. It's like ruralish, suburbanish Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Pennsylvania.
So it's kind of like, it's not that wild. It's kind of like that thing back in the day where it's like, you hear about a guy who had two families who lived 10 minutes away from each other, and it never, you know, these things never mix together. It kind of like, you know.
Yeah, okay.
It's that, like, I could believe it.
That's what you're saying goes against a little bit one of my issues with.
What were you going to say?
This movie was just that, I mean, there's only like one real cop on the force.
Yeah, where is all the cops?
It's like, this isn't Alaska.
He doesn't even
Pennsylvania. You know, dude, he's the only guy who's a real cop.
He doesn't even have a partner.
No, that's what I mean.
Don't all cops have partners?
He has to follow every person, also the leads, also the lead detective, the SWAT team. He's everything, unless it's just an army of uniforms who just like lemmings will walk through. They're capable of just walking, waddling somewhere, or showing up in cars. None of them have brains. And the boss is
such a stereotypical police captain. Captain O'Malley.
Useless. Never been a good police.
Yeah.
So where did this guy even come from? Where did he learn to be such a good cop?
I don't know.
And he's the only one. And it's just so
he's
that
young
was like
too.
So that I was just like, where did this guy? And he's never lost a case, or like he's never. There's never been an unsolved case that
he's only had like one case before.
Right, yeah. Maybe that's
don't worry, he's never lost a case.
Too busy.
It's his first case.
Knuckle tattoos.
What I read is that, and they never explain this, it's just, you know, you know, you'll tell an actor your backstory, even though it's never mentioned in the film or something.
The motivation.
But he, like, never had a family, grew up in a boy's home, and,
he does say that, right? At one point, I lived in a shelter. I think
maybe he does, yeah.
When he's talking to priest, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He says, like, I'm offing you or whatever would be a fucking treat for me.
Right, something like that.
Yeah.
Although that priest was a hero, right, as it turns out. He murdered the head abductor.
He murdered what I think we're supposed to be led to believe is the grandma's husband.
Yes, that was
been
the guy.
Missing, but it's like, because he went to this priest in a moment of whatever sorrow and confessed, and the priest killed him. But I don't know. It's also kind of shady because it's like, I don't know. There's definitely allusions there to like the Catholic Church being like, maybe this guy was in cahoots. Maybe this guy, you know, I don't know. Why didn't the priest just turn him into the cops? You know what I mean? If he wasn't somehow involved.
Yeah.
Like, what's his reasoning to tie the guy up and kill him?
Did he burn him? It was tough to
say. It looked like the body had just been rotting there for mad long.
For, I guess, 16 years.
Yeah, right.
So, I guess at that point it doesn't smell anymore. Like, it beyond that.
It, like, petrifies, I guess, after a while.
But, yeah, I mean, who knows? There's a lot.
Yeah, who knows?
A lot of things do happen in this movie.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff's going on.
So, Gyllenhaal, the cop's character, too, this is just something that...
Yeah.
Like, inferred. He's got that sonic ring on.
Oh, on his pinky.
And I had to, like, look up what that was, even.
Okay.
I didn't really
what
get...
What does it mean?
It's... Well, whenever I hear Masonry, Freemasons and shit, I think of the Simpsons episode, you know?
Stonecutters?
Stonecutters, no. Yeah. Secret societies and shit. But I did a very quick Google. I didn't do a deep dive at all.
Yeah,
but it just seems like Masonic Temple is, like...
Incognito mode, for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to be tracked now, you know? Or I don't want to be... I don't want them recruiting me, you know? Maybe they want...
They tried to recruit me.
What? Really? What?
Yes.
Tell me this.
I come into my bedroom. I was living in Long Beach at the time. And there's just a DVD sitting on, like, the bed. The made bed. And there's a DVD, and it was, like, about the Freemasons.
Who left it there?
Exactly.
No, you're lying.
Wait a minute.
What are you talking about?
I was living with two guys, and then people live downstairs.
Okay.
And And I said, whose is this? They go, we never seen that before.
Someone had to be fucked. Come on. A stonemason broke into your apartment and left a DVD on your bed?
Didn't watch it. And I'm just telling you.
You didn't watch it?
I didn't watch it. And I'm telling you that this happened.
What other crazy stories have you never told me before?
Listen, when they come up, they come up.
I guess so.
But
this didn't bother you for a long time? Did you really like interrogate your roommates? Be like, guys, come on, seriously.
Well, it was one of those things. No one said that they did it. Uh-huh. So I was just like, well, I just assumed, all right, one of these morons is like
lying,
fucking with me.
You don't want to give them the satisfaction of making a big deal out of it.
Well, what's the big deal?
Yeah, what's the big
someone
deal?
Has this DVD?
Well, I just wouldn't like someone being in my room, I guess.
Yeah.
That's more anyway, of the, yeah.
I mean, listen, when I was drinking too, it was hard for me to give a shit about anything.
Right, right.
So it's like, ah, okay, is this anyone?
You left it on the bed.
Who cares? Yourself? Won't even think about it. Don't even think about it again. Maybe I would have had a thought like, I'm going to go do this to somebody else.
You're like, hey,
fuck, give them a story.
Use this as a coaster, goddammit. You know?
Yeah, I didn't care too much. But anyway, that did happen. It's a weird moment in
that
my life.
That is weird. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So from what I could gather from my very quick Google is like, it's just a society of people that like, they just want to better the society, and they just want to like better themselves, and they're like teetotalers. That's why you see him refuse the drink there at the end. Because for a guy who's like got all these tattoos and shit, he's pretty straight-laced dude. You know what I mean? I mean, he's certainly living the detective life. You see him in the same fucking shirt every scene.
Right, he never sleeps.
Yeah, and this whole movie takes place over what, like 6 days, something like that?
Right.
Yeah, the guy never sleeps. We only really see him freak out once. Here's the first time where he kind of starts to freak out. And I don't know why this scene got me so amped up. But when he follows Hugh Jackman and Hugh Jackman fakes him out and goes to the liquor store then, and he starts in the spiel, I haven't had a drink in 9 years.
Yeah.
And that sets him down drinking again too. Yes. You know what I mean? He never intended to do that, it seems.
Yeah.
But Jackman hits him with like the after 7 days, the chance of finding them go by down by 50%, and fucking the detective points and he goes, it's only been 6 fucking days. Yeah. Like you could tell he means this shit. He's not taking this lightly. He's not one of these other fucking cops who it's just a job.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want this. I'm gonna find your fucking kid.
He's not like one of these other cops who has a partner.
Yeah.
Or a team.
Well, maybe he wants a partner. Maybe he's like this fucking police station.
Not one of these
bullshit.
Other cops that work with other cops.
Well, he never says anything like that. Like,
no,
he,
I know. I'm just like, why?
But he does kind of have that vibe.
He's so unnecessarily a lone wolf.
Like, he dresses in all black.
This isn't a cold case. This front page,
small town
news. There should be another person.
How come no one's helping me?
What's the guy's name?
Well, they say a couple times about how they don't have money in the budget for like a lot of this shit.
One case going on. There's one case.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
But I guess nothing ever happens.
So there's no like.
Nothing ever
you
happens.
Have enough budget to have every single guy walk through the woods, though. Like that costs way more than two guys on anyway.
Well, a lot of the time those are volunteers too. You know, everyone comes together, gets a fucking vest and stuff.
Maybe.
Who's, no, I mean there should be. He should have a partner.
Sure.
I'm not knocking that.
Who's the
funny.
Actor? Who's Wolverine? Why can't I?
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman. He is
Keller.
Dover, and he finally
Loki.
He locks up Dano in a bathroom in a building he used to live in.
Yeah, his dad owned the apartment building.
So
shot himself in it.
He's linked directly to this location.
Uh huh.
But then he's driving a truck with his name on it. And he's there all the time.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. It's like nobody could figure this out.
Well, it's like the perfect cover, though. He's a construction worker. He's got his tools there. He's renovating the building. He's been doing it forever. It's a money suck. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He doesn't park in front of it generally. He parks at the liquor store, which is still like, wouldn't the liquor store owner be like, who's this asshole parking in my parking
lot?
Does
he, though? I feel like we saw him so many times go right into that little
I think it's either or. Yeah, he goes in the driveway or he goes parks at the liquor store.
I don't know. It's because, like, you know, you said it. It's only 6 days go by.
There's certainly
he's there constantly.
Yeah, the movie, the things, and also his kid just went missing. Why is he renovating the house?
You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone around him is in hysterics too. You know what I mean? The whole, you know, the fucking whole state. They say it how many times? We got every fucking cop in the state looking for your daughter right now. We just never see him on camera doing
it. Yeah.
But I guess there are.
But no money in the budget.
No money in the budget. But like, hey man, if 16 or if like multiple kids have gone missing around this area over 16 years and shit, I don't know. You start to be like, we got to look into this a little bit more.
Of course.
You know?
And you can't have the guy like, okay, you can't hold him in custody, and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just have one of these cops that are searching constantly.
Well, it's bullshit.
Sitting on the house.
And Loki's like, what about what about surveillance? He's like, I had to take him off. We don't have the money for that shit. Right, he's like, well, then tell me. I would have been there. It's, I don't know. When I'm watching that too, I'm just like, yeah, this dude's all over. He's as on top of this case as he could possibly be.
Right. He's all there is.
He seems to be getting no help.
He's all there is.
But then he fucks up too. He fucking, when he finally snaps and loses it, guy gives the guy the chance to blow his brains out.
That's a frustrating scene.
That is
a frustrating scene. Of course, it turns out that that guy really had nothing to do with anything.
Yeah,
he was a victim. So, yeah. You know, he is involved, but not in any way to the crime that they're investigating right at that moment.
Yeah, I mean, he's linked himself to the crime by, like, breaking into their house and stealing stuff and reenacting. All the reenacting of his shit is, like, it's just such a good decoy. I mean, when you find the bloody sock and he confirms that it's his daughter's, and there's still like an hour left of the movie, you go, what's, you know?
You feel a little silly when you realize, oh yeah, he could have just taken the sock.
They show it to you after,
and you're like, oh yeah, right.
It's very like,
you knew he had access to that.
Stuff like that, it's like, oh, it all makes sense. This all clicks.
Yeah.
It's other small stuff where you go, well, how come this? How come that?
Yeah, because how about this for a how come?
Yeah, okay.
How come this? How come that?
Uh-huh.
Joy, the other girl, the first one to get away, she gets away and she's traumatized and drugged. But where do they find her? Who finds her? Because how far away did she get from the house?
Yeah.
That they couldn't, like, well, she was a block away from Dano's house.
Yeah.
So you'd have to assume, well, check every house on the block. But, I mean, I'd probably start at that one.
I'll say that's for sure one of those things where it's like,
and if she's that drugged, she didn't get that far. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know, LSD and ketamine for a kid. It's okay, like, so I can guess, follow a road, I guess. As far as, like, what direction did I come in? So in the book, that's the...
Yeah, those are serious drugs. I'm thinking it was NyQuil.
I glossed over it before, but when I meant to expound on it, though, was that they really, when the book gets brought up at that scene at Snake Guy's house, they do a lot of, like, telling about what happened in this area over the years and what this book is about. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's been a book written about the children abductions in your area,
right,
and then a new one happens,
that's true. They blow through that.
They blow through that very quickly. Yeah, very quickly. So yeah, it's a little crazy, but who knows? She might have ran for a half hour down the street because it also looks like she's near a main road. Those cars are flying by, or like a highway. And then the grandma also lives far enough away from everybody where she could shoot Hugh Jackman in the knee in the middle of the night and not have the cops get called.
Yep.
So it's like, it's kind of all these
perfect... That I'm okay with. Cause
I'm okay with that, too.
That's how it is in the country, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I heard a gunshot. Yeah, who knows?
Right.
Who the fuck knows?
Everyone has 1,000 guns.
Yeah.
1,000?
1,000, dude.
What am I, an asshole?
What are you, an idiot?
Oh, man.
In other words, in human talk, 1,000?
A dozen hundreds? 40 dozens?
1,000.
Here's the biggest. You want to talk about, like, how come or how did this get away? If it was me. Here's the biggest one, in my opinion, Paul Dano gets picked up at the beginning of the movie for suspicion of abducting these kids, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they obviously look up everything they can about this guy. He has a driver's license, you know? Wouldn't they link him as, like, this kid isn't who he says he is, or, like, where's his adoption papers from the grandma? Or, like, because this is a kid who went missing, again, but they just kept him. Instead of killing him, they just kept him.
And you're looking for any reason to keep him more than the 24 or 48 hours.
48 hours, yeah.
So you're absolutely right. They'd be, well, let's look, you know, because most cases you'd say, why would they, you know, they miss something in his children's history.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, why would they look it up? But it's like, no, in this case, an RV on Thanksgiving and two missing girls,
yeah,
you probably do the extra background.
You could kind of make You could kind of make the argument where it's like, well, if someone got in trouble for whatever, even murder, it's like they have a New York State driver's license. Why would you ever be like, well, let me see his birth certificate?
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, if they were like, where's his birth certificate? You know, I want to make sure this guy, because you can get a U.S. driver's license fairly easily. I bet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's Pennsylvania. But I mean, how do you just create a person?
I mean, I think you can just write and call the DMV enough and, like, go through steps and, oh, I lost this and I lost that. I don't have that, you know.
But the adoption thing too.
But yeah, exactly.
Everything would have to line up. And maybe Maybe it would. I don't know.
The only thing I could square it away with is that, again, this is, even though he's got the mind of a 10-year-old and he was adopted or whatever under, well, we know that it's kind of a weird circumstance, but I guess nobody else really questions it. But at the end of the day, even though he's got the mind of a 10-year-old, this guy is like 30. Mm-hmm. So if a 30-year-old has a driver's license, there's no reason to really kind of to think, why should we think he's somebody else?
Right. And then, but that, you know, it's also, I guess, now that you're saying it, he does pick up the two girls. And there is absolutely no physical evidence. That is a little odd.
The guy in the auto shop early on, I have no problem with this because they address it early. And also, well, all I need is a character addressing it.
Yeah.
Even if it's bullshit, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. As long as a character who's supposed to be the authority.
Sure. It's not like they let it slide.
So the guy in the auto shop said there's no signs of these two girls. If there was any kind of struggle or if they were in there for a while, there'd be evidence. But it turns out Paul Dano just drove him 10 minutes or 15 minutes away, 20 minutes away or whatever. So there probably wasn't any, which is still kind of too perfect.
Yeah, it's a little too
clean. It's a little too perfect.
She didn't have a coat, so she didn't have gloves.
Yeah.
So she didn't touch anything with her fingers, neither one of them. Maybe.
Yeah.
It's just there was absolutely nothing. Two young girls, even 10 minutes.
And the place was also filthy too. So I got to imagine it's harder to get evidence when there's just I don't know.
Maybe.
Disgustingness all over the place. It's crazy how Paul Dano crawled up into that crawl space so quick to hide, you know?
Wait, but how about him what's the word? Slamming the car, the RV into the tree?
He's dumb. He's just an idiot. The cops, he knows something's up. He just dropped off two girls to his grandma and now he's out just being alone. He likes to be alone, you know?
Right.
And now they're surrounded by cops. Yeah, he just freaks out. Okay. He's just an idiot. Because, you go, why would he just crash into a tree? He just floors it into a tree.
Yeah.
And he's just probably like, I just got to go. Just got to go. You know. Huh. It's dumb, just but
a,
like,
a
he's
panic.
Dumb.
He's a dumb panic.
Yeah. People who don't have the mental capacity of a 10-year-old do dumb shit like that all the time.
But he didn't do any type of panicking when he was getting his ass beaten in Guantanamo Bay.
I mean, once he gets his hands free, he tries to get out that window and he takes a stab at him.
And that was very, I'd say, what's the word? He was on his feet. I mean, broke the glass with his hand, grabbed it, turned around, almost stabs the guy. That was very, what's the word? I don't know, agile? You know?
Yeah, well, he's an idiot. He's not necessarily, you know.
Yeah.
It's all, listen, also, you're pumped full of adrenaline. You've been getting the shit kicked out of you.
Yeah,
first chance you get, it's like you're like an animal just trying to get out of a cage, you know.
Right.
It's wild. Paul Dano does a great job. What a tough gig. You imagine coming home to your wife. She's like, how's work? He's like, I don't know. I got Hugh Jackman screaming in my face 9 hours all day, swinging a hammer at me.
Yeah, I bet that prosthetic and makeup when his both eyes are all blown up.
That reveal is like twisted.
Viola Davis, that scene. That's a pretty good one.
That's a great scene.
Yeah.
It looks like the Elephant Man. Everyone's great in this. Terrence Howard is good in this.
Terrence Howard. I had to look him up because I'm like, I obviously I know him from stuff, but I couldn't remember his name.
This is... I think right before he fucked himself up by talking himself out of the Marvel Universe, right? Or no, this must be afterwards.
He was in Iron Man.
He was the original.
And what happened?
He was the original War Machine in Iron Man.
Oh, really?
And then when they went to go make the sequels, he was like, I want as much money as Robert Downey Jr. Like, my character is as important. And they were like, you're literally not. You're the sidekick.
Yeah.
And he talked him... He was such a pain in the ass to work with. He talked himself out of the movie, and they gave it to... what's his name?
Don Cheadle. All love.
Yeah, who's been great.
Wow.
And, Terrence Howard has also been... He invented his own mathematics. He says there's no such thing as zero. He's crazy. He's one of those celebrities who's, fully lost it. And now you don't see him as much anymore.
That's a hot take.
But he was good. In movies. You ever see Hustle and Flow?
I think so.
Plays a pimp who wants to rap.
Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
What do you mean there's no such thing as zero?
You'd have to ask Mr. Howard. There's a video out there of him, but you could see him just rambling in an interview about how he's a genius. He's like Kanye.
I'm not doubting
almost.
I know he's a genius.
I mean, he's a great actor.
I need to hear about this zero and no zero.
It's his own mathematics, dude.
Well, I'll tell you what he's not good at. Playing the trumpet.
Yeah, no.
I thought that was the biggest twist in the movie. He's pulling out this trumpet. They're doing a whole thing.
This is like Chekhov's gun.
You know, meaning that they're building it up. He can't wait to play. Everyone's excited except for Wolverine, and they're making it a fun thing. They know each other. Obviously, they're spending Thanksgiving together. Please play the piano. And then, but it's actually, he stunk at the trumpet. He couldn't even play like Star Spangled Banner.
I think he was playing bad on purpose. I think he's a, well, didn't he say he was like the music teacher? Or am I just putting shit on him now?
So, no, that's what I mean. It was like he stunk at playing the trumpet. Yeah. It kind of was funny. And it made sense why then Hugh Jackman is like, can we play the piano?
Yeah.
Like he's like, you stink at trumpet.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I just didn't see that coming. I thought for sure this guy knew how to play, and Hugh Jackman was just kind of being like a typical guy who like
naysays
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But that wasn't the case.
Yeah, he might have just been, whether he was goofing or whether he can actually play.
Huge twist.
I mean, it's such a good depiction of like a nice Thanksgiving until things go to shit.
Yeah.
You even got the two teens in the basement just like watching TV, stuffed from food. They got the itis, you know.
So did you like the son?
I mean, he's only got like the one scene, but I liked him in that scene. Well,
there's a couple of scenes, but I don't know. I felt like he was a little, I don't know. I didn't buy it or something.
You didn't buy it?
Yeah, I wasn't crazy. Well, because the movie opens up with him and he shoots the deer. You get this feeling like he's going to be part of something. And then he's walking around with the girls outside. But then, I don't know, just kind of a nothing burger. And then he does have that one scene. I guess that's the one I'm talking about, maybe.
Yeah.
When he's like, we can smell it on your breath.
Yeah.
He just kind of rattles him. I don't know.
Because in his, he doesn't know what his dad's doing. So to him, his dad is just leaving his mom and him at the house and getting drunk and being away from his family.
Which he is doing that.
Yeah, but he's torturing this guy. He thinks he's doing something to help the situation. But to them, he's just leaving. And I mean, seems like his dad has started drinking again and his mom is abusing prescription drugs.
For sure.
So he's just like, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah. The
I think Timothy Chalamet was originally going to get that role. I'm not kidding.
Oh,
I
really?
Read that he auditioned for a role, and that's the only role I can imagine at the time him doing.
Unless
he's young now.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
10 years
unless
ago.
He's the snake guy.
Maybe. Yeah, but even that, I think he might have been too young for the snake
guy. Right, and he would have looked really young for sure. Even if
that snake guy is, he finally got his own movie.
Yeah.
That one that just came out.
What's he?
Late Night with the Devil.
Oh.
Have you seen the trailer for that at all?
No.
It's like a horror film. Just like it says, he's a late night talk show host, that guy.
Oh, I've heard of this movie.
The ratings stink, and he gets the devil to come on. I don't know how that works, but...
Yeah, haven't seen it.
Yeah, he's got an excellent greasy, you know...
I mean, the movie's got A-list guys.
Yeah.
You know, actors and actresses. Everybody, every other person is huge.
I feel like you're going to hit me with it, Mike. You're going to break my heart.
Dennis Villeneuve.
No.
So, it's... So I looked it up because I'm like, all right, what else has he done?
Sicario.
Dune.
Did he do Dune?
He's Dune in Dune 2.
Oh, look
and
at that.
Yeah, so then I go, oh, totally see that. Because it's like that, the whole, there's a score that's happening, the whole movie, where it's just like that, there's like a humming type thing. Yeah. I'm like, that's just like Dune. It's really long, just like Dune.
There's a humming throughout the film, and it's long like Dune?
That's a style. That's like his style, I'd say.
Long movies?
I didn't see the other ones he had done.
Okay.
Do you know the other ones he's in?
Sicario was one. I think he did at least the first one.
I don't know if
he did the second one. But
I've seen that title. I don't know what that movie is.
So he's like doing these huge huge sci-fi.
Okay.
How else could you describe Dune? But Prisoners and Sicario much more fall under just like the thriller mystery kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And he fucking kills it. I mean, he knocks it out of the park. Mm-hmm. For me, I could see more Dune with the Loki's car scene. It's not a chase. He's just fleeing to the hospital with Anna.
Okay.
A poisoned Anna in the back.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's such a good tense. Like, you get shots in the car, but you also get these, like, soaring shots of him flying on the road.
Yeah, he's losing his eyesight. He's bleeding. Yeah, he's screaming for the girl. One thing, though, about that scene, why didn't he turn the siren on?
Why did he?
Didn't he?
He did. The blue lights were going the whole time.
Yeah, but not the siren.
The sound?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You got to turn that fucking thing on, man. Move people out of the way. That's crazy. The whole time I'm going... Turn the siren on.
The hang-ups you have with movies. You're like an 80-year-old man.
But that's...
You turn on the siren when you're running the red lights.
Of course you do. Like
maybe he's weaving
in and out of people.
But maybe it was a decision to not play the siren because then it overshadows the score of the film.
Well, maybe, but...
But then you lose reality.
Well, anyway, I think he should have had the siren on. I think that's...
Maybe it was on and we didn't hear it, though.
That's possible.
You know what I mean? Like, maybe they're not worried about...
No,
like,
it's not possible because no cars were... Like, every car was just sitting exactly where they were. If someone's wailing the siren and you're flying, people are
He's got flashing lights and he's flying through traffic and it's raining and it's night.
I understand that.
Yeah. You think the loud noise is going to be more effective than the flashing lights flying up behind you in your rear view?
I think it would help. And
you got the radio on and the rain hitting your windshield and shit?
Radio on.
You driving around at night. You got your radio on. It's raining.
I think you turned the siren on. I don't think this is a big...
Right. I just think that we don't know for sure that the siren was off. You're saying people weren't reacting. I think you judging how people were reacting to his driving based on a siren versus the lights is an insane take.
No, it's not insane.
I think it's insane. You're making the call that he definitely didn't have on his siren because of the way people were reacting.
If you go back and watch a scene and try to... like, there's no siren.
The things you're sure of are amazing.
Well, because you're hearing everything else. You're hearing cars knock into each other.
Yeah, you're hearing like squeals and stuff. Yeah. But if you're hearing, so now you got the siren going woo woo for like the 3 minute scene, which now you got a siren playing for 3 minutes. Now you can hear the skids of the cars. This is audio editing choices probably. But you are saying from how the cars are reacting, he definitely didn't have an audio siren on.
I believe that he didn't have a siren on.
All right. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, because he doesn't in the movie. There's no siren, so.
Well, we don't hear a siren.
Correct.
But that doesn't mean that there's not one on.
I guess.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Silent siren. It was a siren song. He was being called to the hospital.
So you know, like, did you like the movie? That's what I gotta know, Mike.
Oh, I'd say stream it.
Okay.
I'd say stream it. Oh, I don't hate the movie.
I was up all night.
A lot goes on, but there's movies where a lot goes on and it's like awful. And this isn't awful at all. But a lot goes on. And then here's the thing, though. At the end of the day, it's kind of like forgettable, because I saw this movie.
It was 10 years ago, though, too.
Yeah. I don't know if I saw, you know, I didn't see it in the theaters, but I didn't, like I said, I remembered, it was like gloomy, you know, like I remembered the feeling of the movie.
It's very November in Pennsylvania. It's raining, it's gloomy, it's cloudy, it's overcast. Yeah,
that stays with you, but
they shot it in Georgia. I was surprised. I really thought, I was like, this has to be Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I'm in Pennsylvania all the time. They nailed it.
Right. It did feel like Pennsylvania.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even the dad, the family, it all felt... Yeah.
If anything, the wife looked pretty good for Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I saw that wife, I was like, she's the mayor of this town. I've been to this town.
When she hits him with a, you made us feel so safe, I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
But she uses the, my kid's missing. It's like, I'm just going to sleep and take drugs.
Yeah, immediately.
It's like she really checks out.
But he is like pumping her full with the drugs like immediately.
Yeah.
His first thing is like, take these pills.
Yeah.
Take these pills, please. Take these pills.
Right, right, right.
She doesn't even want water. She's just going to chew them. She declines the water. So he blows the whistle at the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
So they don't show you, but what happened? He finds him.
Well... You kind of are led to believe that he finds
it. Yeah, and, I think you have to think that, right?
And when I'm watching this, I'm going, how does he know to blow, like, the whistle? Has he just been blowing it the whole time? You go, no, they got the radio on. They're working, they're excavating. He probably hears all this shutting down, and he knows they're leaving. So he's like, I got to hit him with the whistle. So he starts blowing on the whistle.
Yeah.
He gets real lucky that Gyllenhaal's still there, just standing there thinking things, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost, it's not overacting, but it's almost cliche where like Gyllenhaal, it happens like two or three times where he hears the whistle and then he like kind of like shakes his head like, nah, I'm just imagining shit. Then he hears it again. He's like, and then he scoffs again. He's like, nah. And then he hears it that third time. And it's like, I mean, I got to believe that it clicks and he's like, something's up.
Yeah, I agree. I think he
walks
him.
And he finds, you know.
I think he finds it.
I think that's what we're supposed to leave. You know, obviously we don't see it. We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it seems like he's going to find it.
Yeah, I feel like he probably finds him.
Either that or he's not going to rest until he does, you know?
Well, if he doesn't find him, then I don't think he makes it through the night.
Oh, no, he don't make it.
He's got a bullet wound.
And they say that, like, it'll take us months. The ground's
frozen.
Oh,
and it's frozen.
We're heading into December, so it's going to be frozen. Right. We're not going to have this out till spring.
And that could
probably explain
also maybe why the whistle was so faint. He might be on his last.
Oh, yeah,
This might be the last, like, energy that this guy has.
And also, just, I mean, that hole is deep.
Yeah.
When he jumps down after getting shot in the leg, it's like, that hole is deep. They got the wood over it, and then the car. Not that the car, but, you know, sound. It's got to make its way through a lot of cracks there.
Yeah.
So
let's say, because it sounds like we both agree that he finds him there.
I think so, yeah. I think that's what...
So if we can go further, does he go to jail?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has to.
He has to go to jail.
For what he did to Dano. Even though Dano had information, it doesn't matter. He beat the living shit out of him, made him a prisoner.
I think the more intriguing question is, does Dano get any prison time? Like, what happens to him?
I think he gets out because you take pictures of him and you just talk to him for any amount of time. Like, you know what I mean? And then he finds that mother who's been missing is her kid. I mean, and they already identified that. That was in the paper.
You know that family's like...
I don't think he does any jail time.
That family's got to be like, we don't even want him.
that mom who's been watching the videotape over and over.
She wants him.
Well, I agree. She's a changed person.
Right, and so is he.
That's still a weirdo house.
Yeah.
Wait 8 years and then you have to go back. The kids are in that house.
Yeah.
The two of them are going to become weirdos.
I mean, you could see Anna. You can kind of... They sort of show it. But like Anna gets brought in to meet Detective Loki and say thank you, and they do this great like long shot of her, and you're like, oh, this kid's already traumatized too. Like,
yeah,
we don't know what happened. It wasn't that long. But like, yeah, this kid's fucking, you know, thinking about this for the rest of their lives.
Okay, there's one line about it, and that's all that's said, and maybe it doesn't have to make sense. But the woman who's abducting children, mm-hmm. she goes, "We abduct children. We make children go missing. It's our war against God."
Yeah, so their kid died of cancer. They lost faith. And instead of just losing faith, they decided to wage a war against God by killing kids.
So other families lose faith.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, religion makes people do crazy things.
Sure.
These people were already traveling around the country handing out pamphlets in an RV, you know?
Well, she's been doing it for at least 16 years, right? Yeah. A minimum of 16 years. You'd think she'd be better at it.
Right.
The two girls got out of the house.
So that's something that... I like this movie a lot because I feel like it covers all. I feel like it's pretty airtight. Besides the siren thing, I think it's pretty airtight. Because you go, why are those kids even up and around? Like, shouldn't they be in the hole?
Okay.
But Dano says about the maze? She says that the only reason I took him out of the hole is because Paul Dano's character's been gone. I've been so lonely.
Oh, okay.
So because her boy was gone, Dano... And apparently the dog too. What did Jackman do with the dog? He abducts Paul Dano.
Wait, Jackman did the dog?
I was saying when Jackman abducts Paul Dano, Paul Dano is walking the dog.
Right.
What did Jackman do with the dog?
Huh.
I don't know.
Because it does come up later, right? At least they show the what do you call it? The leash. Right?
Yeah.
Gyllenhaal puts it in and goes, what happened?
Right. They do show the leash. Yeah.
Okay.
So she's got no dog. She's got no Paul Dano.
Yeah.
But she's got these two kids drugged up. So she takes them out of the hole to just, like, keep her company, which is wild.
Right.
And then one of them runs away, and she can only keep track of, you know.
Yeah.
Hard to wrangle a couple of 10-year-olds or whatever they are.
And there's the maze. Yeah, the maze. The puzzle maze is just the hole
with the puzzle book. And,
right, and they were like, you know, do these puzzles so you can leave. But there's no leaving.
And also the last puzzle is of the amulet thing, which is an impossible puzzle. So there's no, you know.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And also you're all fucked up on LSD and ketamine and shit.
Right,
you
know, right,
you
right.
do puzzles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
you just want a cigarette.
The snake guy, while that scene's happening, while you know he cuffs him up, he's in the room, but he's releasing snakes all over the place.
Yeah.
Was there like a thought in your mind, like why not take the one second it would take to just like close the thing back up? You don't have to lock it up, but like maybe just close it.
I mean,
once that thing's open
and a snake is like rising out of it, I don't want to start trying to put the lid back on in a way that, because he's also just like he's popping these open because he thinks
that he wants to find the girls. To me, I'm like, it takes like one second.
He does just keep getting surprised by the snakes, which is like you're a detective.
And then
the first three had snakes.
Yeah, he's standing there holding, you know, something that's, you know, some riddle about solving mazes while snakes are just like slithering all over his body, over his boots and stuff. It was a little, listen, it worked as a scene that makes you feel creepy and the dread and the incoming whatever.
Yeah.
And then the panic of like, wait, this isn't the kids. This isn't solving the crime. You know, it works. It's just a little funny that he's just letting snakes out all over and then just standing in them. Probably not what most cops would do there.
I'd be freaking out with the guy on the floor. Well, yeah, most cops aren't going in the house. They're calling backup. It's like,
well, he did call backup, but he continued into the house.
He did immediately call backup. Yeah, once he was in the
maybe
house.
Maybe at that point I go, "Ksh, we're gonna need some animal control. Why don't you get back on that walkie-talkie? Get another. Get the circus in here."
Yeah. I don't know, but you don't watch movies to see how cops really act.
No,
I see civilians getting beaten up during traffic stops.
I'm just joking around.
No, I know.
It was pretty good. Yeah, Loki. Is there any reason behind that? Because like, I know that's a word that's like tied in with Greek gods.
Like a Norse god or a Greek god or something. But there was some sort of connection about, there was a story about the god Loki trying to protect a kid or something. So okay. There's something there.
Yeah. Because he's got horoscopes on his knuckles too.
Yeah, he's very. I don't know if that lines up with the Freemason thing.
Yeah, I don't
know. He's a character where you're like, I want to know more about this guy. But all he does is detective work, which is like, that's who he is.
Well, a ton of Paul Dano we've done. We've done now two Gyllenhaals in a row.
Two Gyllenhaals in a row. That's right. And Roadhouse, 10 years later, it's like, how old is this guy?
Oh, true.
You know?
But this, he's so much better. And I mean, better in this, obviously. Oh, it's a different, completely different movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this is like, this is a Jake Gyllenhaal movie. That other thing, although 100% a Jake Gyllenhaal movie.
Imagine Conor McGregor playing Loki, though. Yo, he'd beat the shit out of the old lady. I know that much.
He just beat the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His boss, the victims, the suspect.
I forget the actress's name, but we should point out too. Props to the grandma. Just really good.
Oh, she's great.
I mean, like the first time I saw it, I didn't suspect her at all until even when the little girl says in the hospital, "You were there." I'm just going, what does that mean? That's crazy. I don't get that.
Right.
And even then when he shows up the house, only then do I start to be like, oh, he was there. Like, he was in the other room.
But Nona. Not Nona. And no, it is cool that she's so, like, calm, invites Wolverine in, and they have the conversation.
She's got the fake, I hurt my wrist today. She's really just hiding a gun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was an injury she's hiding from when the kid ran away and she had to get the other kid in. And I thought there was going to, somehow he was going to, you know, tie that to the girl. But obviously that didn't happen.
Yeah.
It was cool.
I wonder if she ever drinks any of that Pepsi stuff just for kicks.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. Not if there's ketamine and LSD in it.
I mean, that's got to be fun. That's got to be fun.
Oh, man.
She makes him drink it. She's like, little more. That was improvised. She goes, I just didn't think it was a believable amount that he drank. I thought he would have to drink more, a guy his size. So I told him to drink more.
That's funny. Well, she's in control in that scene, right?
I love a small thing like that.
That makes sense.
Especially the way he's drinking it, too. He's just flying all over the place. I'm like, I wouldn't have let him in, though. He had a vibe of, I'm going to kill you. When he comes to the door with his tools, be like, I thought you could help me. Let me apologize. It's like, you look like you want to kill me right now, dude.
Yeah. It is a little surprising there. Yeah. And she obviously knew something was
He underestimated the shit out of her, too. Because, right. I mean, he's got his back to her. He just walks right in. There's no, like...
He has the gun, but he doesn't have it like she does.
Yeah, yeah.
At the ready.
And this is the guy who's, like, prepared for anything. But he's just...
What did you think of... Wolverine brings in first Terrence Howard. But then he brings in the wife. What did you think about, like, them being privy to that very serious ongoing crime, because they're 100% culpable now, and it's just like an interesting
I think it's one of those things where you'd have to just chalk it up to like desperate people doing things they would never normally do,
because it's tougher to swallow when their daughter is safe and then they're in the hospital and now they're both sitting there looking at Hugh Jackman like, we're still gonna not say anything.
Yeah.
And it is mutually beneficial because they don't wanna incriminate themselves.
She says to Terrence Howard when they get back to the house, she's like, we don't know about this anymore. One of those things where what a great couple thing to have that mutual secret, right. Like, we'll never acknowledge this ever.
And I get
again.
Until they find their daughter safe, then it's like, now you're in huge trouble here and you're less skin in the game.
Well,
you have your daughter back.
When you say you're in huge trouble, it's like, you're in huge trouble if Dano gets out and says, like, they know about it, you know? But otherwise, it's a moral thing of, like, you just feel awful because you know that this guy still has...
All those reasons.
But then Hugh Jackman leaves immediately, and they assume he's going to the apartment building. The cops assume he's going to the apartment building. Loki shows up, and but he doesn't. He goes to the woman's house because of what the girl says.
He knew, yeah, exactly.
So, and shows him, he's been torturing this guy who's fairly innocent, now we find out, for a week. Instead of going to like try to offer any solace to him, he goes straight to the girl, or straight to the woman, because it's like he's starting to get closer to finding his girl. And it's I mean,
he still holds that guy responsible one way or the other.
Yeah, and I mean, he does,
because of the knowledge that he did have, whether or not he was like mentally capable of sharing that is, he would argue, you know, because let's, you know, because what we said, right? They find Wolverine, they get him out, he goes to trial, those people will be in trouble. Like, it'll come out. It's possible it doesn't. But
it's possible it doesn't, but I agree with you. I feel like, you know, things almost never... you almost never get away with it.
That would get messy.
But if the only person who knows they know is Hugh Jackman, and he's trying to do the right thing...
Right.
Because every step of the way, they were kind of telling him this is... Or Terrence Howard was at least saying, this is wrong, this is wrong. The wife takes a little bit less of a nicer role, and she goes, let him do what he needs to do. We don't have to take a part in it, mm-hmm. but let him... Which is a little less fucked up, but still fucked up. Terrence Howard is the only one... And even he could have put a stop to it.
Yep.
He could have called the cops.
He could have even taken the wall down.
He could have done a lot of things, yeah, but he just kind of mm-hmm. goes, this isn't right, but I'm going to... I got my own shit, you know?
And it's easy to understand. I'm just saying, from the investigation afterwards, if we keep playing it out,
yeah.
They're probably going down,
but I also feel...
And if they get that daughter who didn't get abducted... You know, yes, they left me alone. Did they? Yes or no? Did they leave you alone this night? Yes, they did.
Oh, the parents?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's one of those tricky things of like,
you know, they put that
in
there.
Are they bad parents for letting their kids go like four houses down to go get something from their house? It's like,
right, of course not.
Of course not. Yeah. But you know, you did leave your kids unsupervised for even a moment, I guess. Things happen in a moment. Paul Dano says, if he's smart enough to say, they only cried when I left, meaning I dropped them. They were having fun with me. We were just chilling.
It's frustrating.
If he's smart enough to say that, he's smart enough to be like, well, when I say I left, I mean I left the house my grandma lives at.
Right. Can you say anything else?
Yeah. You know, so I don't know. But I don't know what's going on in that Paul Dano brain. You're a little freak.
If anyone would know, it's you.
Yeah.
You're watching every Paul Dano movie under the sun.
Next week we're watching Little Miss Sunshine.
Is there any Paul Dano movie you have not seen?
I'm sure there is. Yeah, there is. There for sure is. I forget what they are.
Yeah, we'll look into this.
What, have you seen Little Miss Sunshine?
Of course.
Yeah, he's great in that.
Yes, the pilot.
Yeah, the pilot.
Yeah.
How do you go to age like 16 or 17, though, and not know you're colorblind?
Oh, in that movie?
Yeah, right? Isn't that a little wild?
I'd have to rewatch, but sure.
He finds out in the car.
I know there's a frustration. Yeah,
they, like,
right,
show him something.
Okay, and that's because he's colorblind.
And then
okay.
The uncle's like, I think you might be colorblind. And he goes, he's like, and then you can't be in the Air Force, which is kind of a wild first thing to jump to. He'd be like, hey, we just found out something about this kid's medical history.
Well, yeah,
you won't be able to pursue your dream then.
I guess you figure at some point in elementary school they give you one of those, like, can you hear the beep tests?
Right.
They do your sound and they do like what number is in
the weird, yeah, here's green circles and there's right. a red seven in there.
Yeah, if you can't see that,
yeah.
then I guess right, you're colorblind. Yeah, maybe it doesn't happen.
In all
places.
Yeah, I don't know.
he had the cheat sheet.
Right.
Nah, he wouldn't have known to cheat. Anyway, different movie.
I'm excited to see what they just announced Dune 3.
What, the release date?
No, like just that they're actually going forward with it.
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
it's such a big budget, they got to wait every movie, be like, did it make its money?
But, okay.
So Dune 2 killed it at the box office, though, so I'm sure Denis Villeneuve?
Villanova? That's how I'm saying it.
Villanova?
Apparently, though, they just extended the IMAX showing of Dune 2 because they're still just selling them out.
Oh, really?
So it's, in Manhattan. I don't know if that's all theaters, but the IMAX is extending it. So because I haven't seen it yet, I saw it
like 2-3 weeks ago, and the theater was mostly empty. But it was like a Friday at 2 p.m.
Right.
So that's...
But IMAX is like different, right?
Oh, no, I saw it in IMAX.
Oh, you did see it in IMAX.
I'm not going to see a movie like that not in IMAX.
Okay.
That's the thing. I got to see Civil War in IMAX.
Wait, and it was empty?
It was fairly empty. But also, I think most movie showings are fairly empty other than like at night and on weekends, you know?
Yeah.
Like any movie at 2 o'clock and on weekdays.
Right.
You know, I'm the only asshole not working like that.
Sure.
But obviously, I'm going to see Dune 3. I thought Dune 1 and Dune 2 were pretty good. But I will say this.
What will
Denis,
you say?
Huh?
What will you say?
I will say that Denis Villeneuve's action thrillers I like more than his sci-fi. Uh-huh. I like Dune, but I would watch this. I would put this movie over like Dune or Dune 2, honestly.
Mm.
I mean, they're different movies, but
totally different movies.
I really enjoy a true detective type.
Yeah, I mean, that's I like that genre way better.
Yeah, hardened detective struggling with his own demons, trying to find lost kids. Why is that so appealing? But it
Based
is.
Based in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
But listen, sandworms. I love a sandworm.
Sandworm's cool, but they never show how they get off them. That's the thing, though. It's like, I get
in the books they explain that they get tired. The worms are so tired they no longer could even go.
Oh, like, so they got to get to the destination, just circle it until they tire them out, like horses, you know?
Well, it's one of those, you know, it's one of the If that's how it goes.
It just works.
They're very tired. Yeah. But they jump off and they have to go take a nap. Also, they're proud creatures. So they feel bad about that they've just been bested.
Oh, that's
so curious. So there's a little bit of that.
That's curious.
So they have to like go off and do a thing and not only just physically recharge, but like re-come back to society.
Imagine like using a public bus and being like, you know, the bus works because it feels bad.
The bus runs on the people that ride it.
And we ride on the bus. I don't understand how it works, but
everybody smiles on the bus and starts going slower.
Yeah, right. Gotta show like awful statistics to make the bus go faster.
Oh my gosh, it must be a daytime thing because we're cruising into 55 minutes.
I know. These
people need to take a nap.
I know. I need to take a nap.
God bless. Next week we're doing
the longest movie ever.
The longest movie of all time.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not. But by the guy who made the longest movie of all time. Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm blanking.
It's not.
Flower Moon.
The Killer Moon.
Yes.
Killer Moon.
Scorsese.
Scorsese.
Or Scorsese.
Scorsese.
Can't wait. No, it's not insane.
I think it's insane.